from LPM.
Louisville Public Media.
Support for LPM podcasts comes from the Eye Care Institute and Butchertown Clinical Trials, where they strive for diversity, equity, and inclusion within their staff, patients, and clinical trial participants. To learn more, visit butchertown.clinic.
Have you ever bought something and thought, man, I really regret that? Are you someone who tends to view financial mistakes with regrets? This week's guest, Rebecca, is a student from New York City who found a way to flip her money script. She talks about how, by reframing these instances into money lessons, she was able to build a better foundation for future choices. We also talk about how to build financial awareness and good habits while still in school and what inspired Rebecca to start her blog, Blissful Wallet. Let's jump in. Welcome to Money Memories, Rebecca. How are you doing this fine Monday afternoon?
I'm doing pretty okay. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm so thrilled to have you. So let's get started. Who are you and where do you come from?
So right now I'm a junior at Lehman College and I'm a blogger. If somebody were to ask me, what do I do? I'm definitely going to say that I'm a self-care / finance blogger.
That's so cool. How long have you been blogging for?
Not long. I started actually in August of last year. It's grown a lot though since then.
That's terrific. And what do you study in school?
Physical therapy. Unrelated completely.
I mean, there's physical wellness and emotional wellness. They seem kind of related.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, you made me feel better. So yeah, I am studying something a little late.
Oh, that's terrific. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Bronx and I'm still located in the Bronx.
Awesome. We have a city slicker. So Rebecca, with that context in mind, what's your earliest or most impactful money memory?
Yeah, I think my most impactful money memory would be growing up in a single parent household. Like my dad was always a call away, but I got to learn about money through my mom and there never seemed to be enough money in the house. So I learned really early on that it makes somebody feel bad when you bring up something that they can't afford. So I would get into the habit of going to the supermarket and like purposely asking for something that was cheaper, even though it wasn't really what I wanted, because I wanted us to be able to like buy the things that we wanted. For example, like cereal. Instead of buying the Kellogg's, which is like $8.09, I would get the bagged cereal that's like $2. And there's no nutritional value. It's just sweet. And it wasn't until I started buying my own groceries that I noticed, okay, maybe I don't really like those things. I was just buying it because it was cheap.
That's so interesting. Because like even as a kid, you were able to recognize like, oh, you had some kind of like, you know, associations, like emotional associations with money. And I'm just wondering, is that something that you observed in your households, among your friends? Like where did you pick that up?
Yeah, no, just mostly in my household. I also learned about like gambling through like my grandma, for example. So for me, gambling didn't seem like a bad thing. It was more of like a pastime. But then you go into like the financial literacy community and they're all like, don't do that. Giving your money away, gambling's bad. So it's interesting to see what was normal in my household compared to what all of these people who are learning about money management consider to be okay.
And when did that realization start occurring for you?
It wasn't until August of last year. This is all very new to me, but I honestly have learned so much in the last couple of months that I can comment on a bunch of like broad topics, but nothing seemed wrong with it until I started learning that people actually did things differently.
Interesting. So what are some of the things that people do differently that you've incorporated into your lifestyle now?
I guess the way I would save. So before, like I've been given an allowance for like the last couple of years. And I would, from that allowance, I would spend the money and I would save the $10 that was left. But I learned that you're actually supposed to pay yourself first. So that's definitely something that's changed. I take money from my paycheck, put it away, and then I pay my bills. Even the idea of like retirement, I haven't started saving for retirement yet, but I know now that if I keep putting money away, there's a chance that I could do it by like 40, 50, instead of having to wait until I'm, I think it's like 65 and a half. It's a really far away number. So that was a big realization for me. And even the concept of investing, I don't think I ever would have even thought about doing it if I hadn't joined Instagram and started reading all these books.
Wow, that's really impactful. And to see that you've been able to learn so much in such a short time, hopefully proves to our listeners that it's never too late to start.
I hope so.
So what's some of the worst money you've ever spent?
I actually don't have any financial regrets. I really see everything in life kind of as like a lesson, but I did something, I think I would change the way I spent the money. So in 2019, I got braces. And I didn't know that actually when you get paid a part-time salary and you sign up to take half of your money to pay for braces, you know, that's a really bad idea. I didn't know that. So the braces themselves had put me in like $1,000 in my credit card debt. I spent some of my savings to pay for it. And I was kind of broke for about 12 months because they were taking the money from the first half of my check or first half of like my monthly paychecks. So although the actual money was not bad spent, my money management of it was, because I didn't know that you were supposed to look at your budget before you like committed to buying a really expensive thing.
So if you could go back and tell and do something differently, what would you do differently?
I would have looked at my paycheck and saw that it was about $400 and not gave $250 of it for braces.
Hey, sometimes it's that easy, it's that clear. But I love how you framed it as it's not a financial, it's not like a regret, right? More like a lesson.
Yeah. So that's the way we look at it. I think that people get really caught up sometime on the idea of like regrets. Like they want to be able to say that everything they did in their 20s was like a waste of time. But it wasn't. It got you where you are today. So why look at it as a regret when you can see it as a lesson? It could be a stepping stool. It doesn't have to be something to make you feel bad about yourself. You said that's a good thing.
Beautifully said. So on the flip side, what's some of the best money you've ever spent or a strong financial decision that you've made?
Well, during 2020, my job told us to stay home for a little bit. And now I do still work remote. But when everything was shut down, I didn't have a reason really to leave my house to buy stuff for about a month. So with that, I was still getting paid. But I didn't have any transportation costs or anything. So I saved all of that money. That really like jump-started my savings because I was right after finishing paying off my braces. So I was starting from like zero. So just being able to like learn how to save instead of finding more reasons to spend money.
Oh, I love that. And it's interesting that you framed something that happened in the pandemic specifically, right? Because I think there have been so many conversations going on about how it's impacted people in very different ways. For one subset of people, it's been like a real blessing in terms of things you pointed out, whereas for another subset, it's been a real challenge. So I love that you shared the perspective of how the pandemic kind of positively affected your finances.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. And also taught me the idea of budget cuts do happen. So although I do have a job right now, we're getting hired like monthly. So I know that for me, it means I need to get my skills up. I need to find out what it is that I could eventually fall back on, because my job, although it's still has me stable, it's not the most stable, and it's not something I can just rely on 100%.
Right. And how are you able to manage, you know, like school with work, with blogging and saving money?
When the campus was open, it was kind of easier in a way because I would work in between my classes because I work at my campus. Right now, I get very like Zoom fatigued because I stay on my computer like all day long. And then blogging was like a pastime, but that also needs me to be on my laptop. So doing that, I kind of look at it like a schedule. I'll write out that from like 9 to 2, I do this. And then from 3 to 5, I'll do this. And in between, I'll need to like read a book or do nothing, like something that's not on the actual computer.
I'm taking mental notes. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea to like block out time where you should be working. That's really smart.
It does.
So what's some of the best financial advice you ever received?
Best financial advice, I think the idea that not one piece of advice is what you should be following, because if you follow just one person, you're kind of living their life and you're not living your own. So combine a whole bunch of financial gurus and you'll come up with like your own great path.
I love it. As we say, personal finance is more personal than finance. And so I think that you touched on that exactly. What do you think is the secret to financial wellness?
I think the secret is probably that there isn't one. Because if there was a secret, there would be like one right way to do it. But in actuality, it's not. You have to combine 7 different things to find like one right one.
What are some ways that you've incorporated like different financial advice or, you know, different thoughts from some of the resources that you use into your like daily financial planning habits?
Yeah, I think a lot of that came in when you think of investing, because I learned about dividend portfolios recently. So it's where you invest in something that kind of gives you like a little mini paycheck over the course of a month or a year. And some people, they don't even mind putting their money into a stock knowing it's going to crash as long as they get a dividend payment. And I don't agree with that because dividends are nice, yeah. But I also want to put my money in something that I can leave for my children in the future, not something that'll be 1,000 one day and 200 the next.
Interesting. Yeah, that's hot take. Yeah, I think that's a beautiful example of why something you touched on implicitly is like risk tolerance and how that's also a big part of your financial decision-making and choices. Certain people have certain appetites for risk and have longer, you know, investment horizons in which they can stomach ups and downs, and some people don't. And so to your point, there's no one size fits all solution or approach. It's also a matter of your risk appetite and your goals for sure.
Definitely.
What has been your most extravagant purchase?
Definitely my braces. I'm going to talk about them to anybody who will listen. They were $6,000 over time. And that was probably my biggest financing thing too, because I felt every moment of it.
But now you have a beautiful smile. So was it worth it?
It was, oh man, you see, you got me. It was worth it.
Ding. And have you had, you're a working student, you're a hardworking student. You seem very diligent, organized. What is the craziest odd job you've had, if you've had such a thing?
I'm trying to do these surveys. Everybody makes doing these survey apps seem really easy. I got like 20 cents. I did an hour long survey.
I agree with you. There's also, have you tried mystery shopping?
I haven't. Tell me about it.
It's kind of similar. You do basically, you can sign up to be a mystery shopper for some organization, and you will call up like a maintenance dealership in like Louisiana, and they give you like a prompt. You pretend you have like a Chevy Tahoe and it's a certain make and whatever, and you need to bring it in for maintenance, and you schedule the appointment and you check off. Basically, there's a form. It's like, did they ask you about this? They ask you about what time? And then you have to go and cancel it later. And it's always felt so stupid being like, this is a fake appointment. And like, they'd like, sometimes they'd be like, yeah, like, so this weather's so nice. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in Chicago. Yeah, it's totally really nice. Like in February in Chicago, not Louisiana. And same, like, I think I'm a lazy person. So I always went with like the quickest ones you could possibly do. But I know people who write like essays for their experience. And like anyways, I digress, but I can relate.
That sounds fun.
Everyone has different definitions of fun. Well, Rebecca, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show this afternoon. For people who are interested in connecting with you and learning about your blog, where can they go?
They can find me on Instagram at blissfulwallet, or they can go to my website, blissfulwallet.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your money memories with us. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, I'm your host, Ilona. If you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. For more episodes, check out funnymemoriespodcast.com or listen to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Interested in being featured on the show? Head to the website and submit a note or DM me on Twitter @IlonaOnTheMoney. See you next week.